You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and on the web at kfai.org. Radio without boundaries.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadigi Wee, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Trading Post. Shop now at causecart.shop and search Native Roots to find your resist gear, Pinagigi, for your support.
Absolutely. Hey, just want to say a big shout out to everyone out there. It's Native American Heritage Month here in Minnesota. And I know Native American Community Development Institute just had a press release on a giveaway, Haley.
Yeah, they're doing their seedling giveaway coming up, I think, this weekend. But they also chose to cancel their open house. So, like you said, Robert, May is American Indian Month here across the state of Minnesota. And every Native organization or nonprofit chooses to hold an open house during that month. But since the parade and kickoff powwow at the American Indian Center in Minneapolis got postponed to May 30th, which was the same day as NACTI's open house, NACTI chose to cancel it in order to help support the parade and community on that day. So if you can come out to the rescheduled date for the parade and the powwow at the Minneapolis American Indian Center, that'll be May 30th on the Friday.
You know, we have a few more things to talk about, but I'm wondering, Haley, what do you think if we bring up the governor of Wisconsin's update?
Yeah, should we play Tony Evers' weekly update?
Yeah, just let me say one thing before we do that. We're going to have Ruth Ann Thorne, host and producer of This is Indian Country, on, and really excited about that. So why don't we take a quick listen to Tony Evers, the great governor of Wisconsin.
Oh, hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update.
I declared 2024 the year of the worker in Wisconsin because I want addressing the workforce challenges that plagued our state for generations to be a top priority. And the results speak for themselves. We had historically low unemployment and 8 consecutive months of record high employment. We also saw a record high enrollment in both our registered and youth apprenticeship programs and launched the state's first ever teacher apprenticeship program. We had a heck of a year in 2024, but just because the year of the worker is over doesn't mean that we're going to slow down in 2025. That's why I put forth a budget that made bold investments to bolster our workforce and ensure Wisconsin's prosperity can continue into the future. Unfortunately, while employers are still struggling to find workers and our state continues to see generational workforce shortages, Republican lawmakers got my budget plans to bolster our workforce in key industries. Republican members of the state's budget committee voted to gut grants to local organizations to address local local workforce needs and barriers to work, investments in our state's registered apprenticeship program and fast-forward workforce training opportunities, including AI and teaching, and supports to connect workers to jobs, including the highly successful Worker Connection Pilot Program and Youth to Registered Apprenticeship Supports. And they got key plans to support working parents, like providing paid family and medical leave and investing in child care to make it more affordable and accessible. The most frustrating part for me as governor is that Republicans consistently reject basic common sense proposals that can help kids, families, and Wisconsinites across our state. And they have yet to offer any real or meaningful plans of their own to address the pressing issues facing our state, from axing middle class tax cuts and property tax relief to stripping out investments to clean up our water and feed hungry kids. Republicans gutted over 600 proposals from our budget. Republicans need to get serious about getting things done. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Thank you, Governor Evers, for all the work you do and keeping things blue as possible in the state of Wisconsin. Haley, I just want to, I know we got a couple things we want to talk about, but I just want to give a shout out to our listeners in Wisconsin, where there's big storms, hail and tornado warnings happening right now. And I know some people are coming in the Twin Cities from Black River Falls for tonight's area meeting for Ho-Chunk in the Twin Cities. So safe travels to everyone, Haley.
Yeah, please stay sky aware. We just had a couple of line of thunderstorms roll through the Twin Cities. There was a couple tornado warnings, I know, in the south western part of the state, but we are through those. But Wisconsin relatives, please just stay sky aware.
Yeah, I like that, sky aware. Oh, wow. We're the Sky Clan. Oh, wow.
Hey, Eagle Clan.
Right on.
Well, what else is going on? We were talking a little bit about our Native nonprofits here in the Twin Cities. Tomorrow is actually Native Nonprofit Day, if you knew that. I just found that out. There's actually, there's a lot of great organizations doing great work for our communities. So we hope you can support them in any way you can. Pinigihi to all of our Native nonprofits, especially here in the Twin Cities.
Right. And if you're thinking about, you know, coughing up some money, tomorrow would be a great day.
Yeah, I think there's like early donating too that's already started. I think I saw someone post, but just to shout out a few here in the Twin Cities, American Indian Family Center has been around for years in St. Paul. We have, NACDI, Native American Community Development Institute. We also have Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center in South Minneapolis, which is a great one. What else? There's stuff going on.
Community Clinic, NADCTI,
the clinic,
AOIC, what's the one in St. Paul, Minnesota?
The Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, that too, yep. There's a lot.
I was thinking the Family Center in St. Paul.
Yeah, you already said that, sorry. But yeah, so yeah, everyone be safe out there, and also think about our relatives on Minnesota Nonprofit Native Day tomorrow.
There's stuff going on this weekend that we'll talk about later on in the show, I think. I wanted to shout out a couple events that we didn't get to talk about this week, though. Saturday, May 17th, this weekend, there's an MMIR music and benefit concert. MMIR stands for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives, so this is benefiting them and raising awareness. It's going to be at Eagles, 342507 East 25th Street in Minneapolis. Doors are going to open at 6 p.m. This is, again, on Saturday, May 17th. You're going to be joining some of the best artists here in Minnesota for an epic night of music to support MMIR. It's featuring, our friends, Pretendians.
Yeah.
Leaving Hope. War Party, Lost Evidence, Tips, Millennial Falcon, Minnesota Motor, sorry if I'm not saying that right, Minnesota Motor and Owl, is 21 plus, and there is a $20 cover donation
for MMIR awareness. All for a great cause, right? Jeez.
That's
awesome. And we heard about that a couple days ago. And again, and then we have like Sunday, May 18th, Indigenous Arts and Crafts Fair at the Bloomington Civic Plaza from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then Monday, the 19th, American Indian Day on the Hill starts at 9:30. I'm going to try and get to that before I skedaddle to Madison on that day.
Yeah, that'd be a good thing to get out and do. I know a lot of people are actually planning to be posted up and vending at that Indigenous Arts and Crafts Fair at the Bloomington Civic Plaza on Sunday. So that'd be a good one to check out too. And then of course on Monday, American Indian Day. Yeah, I know you like that one, Robert.
Yeah, I do.
There's a lot of people that go to that too. Well, we have I'm excited to talk to Ruth Ann Thorne up next and have her back on the show. She's the host and producer of This Is Indian Country, which is a docuseries, and you can watch it now on First Nations Experience or FNX.
Definitely. And we'll be talking to her about a lot of the things she's doing. And, you know, if you're following her on social media, she's doing a lot. So it'll be great to catch up with Ruth Ann Thorne. And so, hey, we'll be back. This is Native Roots Radio. Everyone out there in Wisconsin that's listening, please, please be safe. We'll be right back. Ooh.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us thousands of years ago and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have our friend Ruth Ann Thorne, host and producer of This Is Indian Country, back with us again. And Ruth Ann, can you hear us?
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound great. Thanks so much again for joining us on Native Roots Radio. Can you please introduce yourself and to listeners in a good way? Oh,
absolutely. So, me, this is Ruth Ann Thorne. I am today I'm a little bit of a traveling vagabond because I'm on my way to Vegas. I'm working with an art gallery in the Venetian, but I am Luseno or Peokuichim. I'm a people of the West from a Southern California Native American tribe. So, I'm happy to be here.
We're really happy to have you on again. We've been following you on the socials, and you are a nonstop traveling and doing things. It's great to catch up with you. I know there was a big gala that just happened. We'd love to just have an update of what you've been doing.
Oh, my gosh. What haven't I been doing? So, let's see. My 12-episode series, which you were a part of with the Native Roots Trading Post, which was a huge thrill, that just started airing in April of this year. And so in conjunction with that, FNX, which is also known as the First Native Experience, they are one of the larger streaming platforms for Native content. They received a grant to get an app to allow people to watch Native content globally. So it's just like Netflix. You can download it. You can put it up on your smart television. You can put it on your phone. And you can watch content like This Is Indian Country anytime you want. You just kind of dial up the episode and off you go. So that is a very big deal. And in honor of that, we did a huge red carpet gala in Palm Springs at Agua Caliente. We had lots of movie stars come out, Native and non-Native. It was just a really big deal. And I think it was a little overwhelming to think of the impact that this is going to have.
Yeah, kudos to you and to the people working on this. And I know you worked pretty hard on that first season, and I appreciate you showcasing a lot of things here in the Twin Cities, including Native Roots Trading Post.
I think we just kicked it off with the right group, because I didn't realize the richness that the tribes have where you're located in Minnesota. And even just learning about things like what happened, and correct me if I'm wrong, the massacre at Mankato. Am I saying it right?
Yep.
You know, things like that that you folks know about because that's your area, but a lot of the world has no idea to this day, things that have happened that have really shaped the way that Native people are viewed. So that was a very important thing.
Yeah, and what I loved about the show was how you amplified basically our resistance in art, within art and food sovereignty and things like that, that we here in the five-state area in the Midwest are really, really keen on.
Even going to Dayton's department store and doing the research on how that came to be and how it was like super upscale, bougie, luxury department store where Natives weren't allowed to come in and shop. We're not welcomed. And the fact that you're taking that space back over and allowing people to come in and see the rich history, all of the creativity that's happening, I thought that was really huge.
Yeah. And, you know, it was great to see you like amplify a few of the artists too that really are making a difference. And one of the things that I've learned in my journey with working with the store and working with artists is that, you know, being a Native artist is so much deeper than just throwing a teepee onto a nice wooded area. We cover everything.
I agree. And I think having worked with artists, what I'm really enjoying is seeing that artists are taking the traditions of the past and blending them with modern day ideas, showing that we evolve as people and that we are not relics, you know, that we're not these black and white pictures, but we are modern day Native people and we grasp from other cultures as well. And we evolve in all the things that we do, whether it's the arts or music or even in the sciences. You know, there's so many amazing things that are happening that our people are involved in. And I think it's really important that people understand that even though we've had a lot of hardships, we counterbalance that with our resilience. And not only are we still here, but we're still here in a way that's giving back to the community because that's what we've always done historically.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. So it kind of got a little vibe of your surprised about the Twin Cities. What else surprised you? I know we talk about here in Native Roots Radio that there's 75,000 Native Americans in the Twin Cities, and it's over 150 different nations that are not only because this is Lakota Dakota land, but there's all other tribes from all over Turtle Island that are here. And so, like you said, we have like a rich Twin City area Indian community.
Well, the first thing that stood out is I don't think I've ever gone to a coffee shop called Powwow Coffee. So that was the first time I had really been into a mainstream business where, oh, it's a coffee shop, but here it is. It's run by Native people. I mean, you guys may take that for granted, but most cities you go into, you won't even find one business that's Native owned. So that was kind of kicked it off for me. And then going to your, I think it's called Native American Center downtown.
Right.
Where you have places where the elders can gather and you have a chef that is pulling the indigenous foods in and educating people about not only health, but also the traditions. Those were the first things that grasped me because they're modern day things that are happening. But then also going to like to the falls and hearing the history of the falls and going to, I think it was Sean Sherman's restaurant, Awamani.
Yep.
And learning about the history of that being a sacred spot that he was in and that ceremony had been done there. I just think it's when you get back to the original idea of the land that you're walking on. You know, people want to be incredibly patriotic in this country, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But if you really want to know the roots of the land you're standing on, you have to go back to the original people. And I think in Minnesota, you do a good job of holding on to that.
Yeah, really appreciate that. Haley, we are now got a new organization that's helping with right over there by Ouaumne now.
Oh, yeah. Our friends, Ouaumne Yamni Okoreapi.
Exactly. I knew you could say that better than me, so that's why I threw it to the producer.
Took me a second, but yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're protecting and naming things, renaming things and trying to get rid of. We had a lake that was called Lake Calhoun that was changed to Bede Makaska because Calhoun was a not good to Native Americans, but he was also a big slave owner and he wasn't even from Minnesota. So that was a big push. It's part of our land back here in Minnesota.
I love that.
So are we going to have another season coming up? Are you working on another season?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because we are in the planning stages. The next 12 episodes, so season two of This is Indian Country, will cover the tribes on the East Coast primarily. So starting with upstate New York, Seneca Nation, the Mohawks, we will be going into the sacred part of Niagara Falls. So a lot of people, including myself, did not know that, you know, the Niagara Falls that we know of is one part, but there's a whole nother section just for Native people, because again, Niagara Falls is considered a place of ceremony. So I've been invited to go and interview some of the elders who are, they're gonna share, you know, their view on something that's globally known, Niagara. And then I'm very excited to go into the Hamptons and interview some of the tribes there. You know, when you think of Hamptons, you think of these gorgeous white beaches, super waspy, you know, people in their white linen drinking champagne under their white tents. But little did we know that the people that were there are still there. And so we're going to meet the natives in the Hamptons, the true bougie natives.
Yeah. Right. Wow, that's awesome. Hey, Ruth Ann, can you hold on for another segment?
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. Hey, we're here with Ruth Ann Thorne, host and producer of This is Indian Country, and we're having just a great conversation. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be back after this short break, Haley.
Stay with us.
Yes.
Aho, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with our friend Ruth Ann Thorne, host and producer of This is Indian Country. And again, Ruth Ann, welcome to be for coming on, and also let our listeners know how they can listen and download your shows.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I just want to thank you guys for what you do, because it's so important for our voices to be heard. And I think you've made that platform available for many Native people over the time. So I appreciate that. This is Indian Country can now be seen as on a live streaming platform called FNX. And the easiest way to download it is just go to FNX, so that stands for First Nations Experience, FNX.org/APP. So app, FNX.org/app. Not only can you see my show, but there's many different incredible shows besides mine. I have to give a little plug because one of my favorite is a new one called Navajo Highway. And it's a kids show with puppets. and it is really fun, and it teaches kids how to learn their own language, because obviously Navajo Nation is quite large, and that way a lot of the children that maybe don't even live on the res can go home to their reservation and talk to their grandma in their native tongue. So I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, that is awesome. Hey, one of your episodes, a California episode, you had you were with a Black Eyed Peas artist, Taboo, and I know he was let me just give you a quick we started the show during Standing Rock, and because of all the misinformation that was out there, or no information, with the big Standing Rock, and I know Taboo was there a lot in recording and also supporting, so that's just great to have him on the show.
He's an amazing human being. And really, I think, like many of us who really didn't have an opportunity to grow up with the culture the way that some people that grew up on the res, I mean, I was close enough to the reservation that my dad's from, that I went back and forth, but I didn't live there all the time. He had a similar situation where his grandmother, who's Hopi, moved with his mother to Los Angeles. And although she was very traditional, he didn't really have an opportunity to become entrenched in his culture. So he really identified more as a Mexican, Hispanic, I guess, artist. And then later, he told me the story about when he got cancer, he really had to, you know, dig deep because he was facing stage 4 cancer. And he started praying, and his grandmother came to him in a dream and told him what he should do in order to survive cancer. And he followed her advice, and that led to him being cancer-free. And so that was really the turning point where he went back to his traditional ways and really, you know, took the time to really understand his culture. And it was right around that time that he went to Standing Rock. So it's a really beautiful story.
Wow. Haley and Ruth, I'm a little emotional here after hearing that. That's amazing.
Yeah. So I think his focus is to uplift the youth in Indian country, which you can see him, any chance he gets an opportunity to give back, that's what he's doing.
Wow, amazing. I don't know, Haley, there's so many times that we do the show and I get hit with emotion, and this is one of them. Help me out here.
Yeah, I don't know that I guess either, but what other stories have impacted you the most during your travels to these different Indigenous communities?
That's a really tough question, because we have a kind of a funny saying that every time we leave as a film crew, and you met my crew, we walk away from the interviews and we look at each other. It's kind of an ongoing joke now. And we look at each other and we say, how can we ever film anything better than that? Wow. It just keeps coming. But I think Tantu Cardinal, who is probably one of the leading ladies in Hollywood as an actor, she's First Nations. I feel like she had a very interesting story. She's a little bit older, so she's seen a lot in Hollywood. She's paved the way. And what I found to be really interesting about Tantu is her spiritual connection to her ancestors. She's very intent on listening, and maybe that's part of becoming an elder. I asked her questions about the roles that she would take and how she felt she was able to navigate this really tumultuous place to be, which is Hollywood. It's very cutthroat. It's a difficult place to really live and be as a person, and especially as a Native person. And she just kept coming back to, I spend a lot of time in prayer and asking my ancestors what they want me to do and what doors that need to be opened for me. And I walked away grasping that wisdom from the elders. So that was one thing that really made an impact. I think another reservation that I went to was Warm Springs, Oregon, which is, it's so beautiful. You know, they've got the wild horses running. It's like every place you look, you could take a picture and it could be a postcard.
Wow.
But they're one of the tribes that really struggle financially. They're still, you know, gathering rain and purifying the water for drinking water. But in the midst of all of their struggle, they are probably the most positive people that I've met and the most giving. They don't have much, but what they have, they're incredibly generous with, and they have an incredibly rich history. And the one thing about the Oregon tribes that really blew my mind was, again, this is history that I didn't know, but in 1953, the state of Oregon canceled all of the Native tribes. They just decided one day that, you know what? You guys are no longer Natives. Be American. Act American now. And they removed their federal recognition, and they removed all of the support that they had signed treaties for. And it was just mind-boggling, because it was the first time I had ever really heard of that. And it wasn't until Reagan's administration came in that the tribes were granted back the ability to have land. And also at that time, there were so few of them that they came together. And that's why if you go to Oregon, it's the 13 federally confederated, I'm saying it wrong, confederated tribes. That means there were so few that they all became a family, basically. And there's three places in Oregon. So stories like that, I'd never heard of that. We didn't get canceled in California.
Wow, that is amazing. Yeah, and speaking of Oregon or Portland, Oregon, you had met Tish, a punk rock vocalist. And so there's, I don't want to say another extreme, but there's another part of our culture that young people are grasping to and still keeping it real.
It's just, again, it's just so, it warms my heart to think of this next generation holding on to their traditions and their ways, whatever tribe they're from, but still participating in the modern day culture like we always have, because we've evolved, we've borrowed from other cultures, they've borrowed from us. And that's part of the history. I'm just going to bore you guys because I get so excited. But one of the things that was amazing, thank you, is I was, you know, I come from an art background. So I was in Seattle and I was looking at these amazing masks that are carved. And I was looking at it and I talked to one of the elders. I said, you know, this mask reminds me a lot of the Japanese masks when I went to Japan, the no masks and the different theater. And he said, oh, well, of course, because we traded with the Japanese from the 1400s. So we took their designs and they took our designs. He said, you know, we were a country like any other country. We bartered and traded with people from all over the world. And that really stuck, because I thought, that's what This Is Indian Country is about.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. And, you know, go ahead, Haley.
Oh, no, you're good. We just talked about this. I was just in Seattle and I made the connection between those same carved masks. I'm forgetting the tribe, the Puyallup tribe, I think, but they had those carved wooden masks and I was trying to make the connection. It kind of reminded me of like our South Polynesian relatives and just making that connection, like the ocean's right there. So it would make sense that they were trading and stuff even with them.
Yeah, all over. And I'm excited to go again, going back to season two of This Is Indian Country. One of the things I'm really excited about is in upstate New York, in the Seneca Nation and the Mohawk, they have a lot of Scandinavian DNA. And that goes back to the Vikings. A lot of the tools that they use as native tribes were all from the Scandinavian tribes. The Vikings came over and many times fell in love with native women and were invited to stay and be part of the tribe. And there you go. You know, they cohabitated in a friendly manner. So again, these are the history lessons that I think have been removed from our history books, but these are things that have been pushed away as if to say that we were this isolated group of people that nobody ever knew who we were. And we were savages and we fought with everybody that came onto the land. That is so far from the truth. We were a country like any other country. And I think that's what I get excited to talk about.
Well, Ruth Ann Thorne, host and producer of This Is Indian Country on fx.org and/ the apps to watch the stuff on at your leisure. We got to have you on again. This is so exciting and longer. I could listen to you all day. Just a big peeny giggy for coming on, and keep up the great work. We really appreciate you here in the Twin Cities and all our 30 other stations in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Michigan. Oh,
my great honor. And you guys keep up the good work too. I'm really grateful to know you.
Right on, Peenie. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We're going to take a quick break and pay the bills. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute with All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have some awesome guests on today. Jada Gray Eagle and Michaela Patton, who are featured artists and curators, of Creation Story, the exhibit open now at All My Relations Arts Gallery in Minneapolis. And I just want to say a big hoo-hoo. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Cool. And we don't have a camera, so I don't know which one said that, but welcome. Welcome. Is this Jada or Michaela?
This is Jada.
Hey, Jada.
Hello, this is Michaela.
Welcome, you two. Thanks so much for coming on. Hey, I happen to be at the opening, the grand opening, and had some cheese and got to listen to you guys speak and saw all the great art. I just want to say this is a really awesome, awesome thing. Jada, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? I have your bio in front of me, and it's an amazing bio.
Yeah, for sure. So, Hanmadakyapi Mato Pajutawin Amachyapi. Hello, everybody. My name is Jada Gray Eagle, and I'm an enrolled member of the Oglala Lakota tribe. I'm originally from Pine Ridge, South Dakota, and I grew up a majority of my life here in Minnesota. I am a freelance documentary photographer. I graduated from the Institute of American Indian Arts down in Santa Fe, New Mexico, with my degree in fine art photography. And since I've been home, I've been doing a lot of photography. And yeah, that's actually where, you know, I got to meet Michaela. We're from the same tribe, and that's where we both were able to connect, was down in Santa Fe.
Well, you have also been on assignment and recently contributed to the Smithsonian Magazine, the New York Times Magazine, Washington Post, ProPublica, and Urban Institute, the Wall Street Journal, and Netflix. I just am amazed and good on you, and it's great to see a young warrior like you doing so well.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
So, Michaela, tell us your story. Ho-wa.
Hi, thanks again for the invite. Hamadakyapi. My name is Michaela Patton. I'm Oglala Lakota. I was born and raised on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. I like to call myself a multidisciplinary artist. I also attended and graduated with a BFA in studio arts from IAI, the Institute of American Indian Arts. And my focus was in printmaking, but my practice, my studio practice has come a long way since then. And now I am I'm a sculptor and installation. I work along sculpture and installation, and I'm currently based in Pennsylvania.
Wow, cool. Jada, talk about how it was working with Michaela and getting this great art to fruition.
Yeah, for sure. So Creation Story, and Michaela, step in and tell me if I'm wrong at all, but it's Keith Braveheart's master thesis. And so the idea is that, you know, he worked with a set of artists that they all made art that was reflective of different deities within the Ocheti Shakui, so within like Lakota, Dakota, Nakota Nation. And each time that it traveled to a different location, different artists got to co-curate the exhibition and then bring on additional artists. So this time around, you know, Michaela was one of the original artists, and she invited me to participate in this and step up as one of the co-curators. And then we also worked with Kylie Wanity Thunderhawk. She was also an invited artist, and she also helped us co-curate this. It was amazing. It was so much fun working with Michaela. We had a really great time. Since Michaela's in Pennsylvania and I'm in Minneapolis, we were on FaceTime a lot, just sort of like walking through the exhibition space. And Michaela is such a diehard. She created like a little model in her living room of the gallery. Oh. Wow. And, you know, printed all of the artwork to scale so that we got to like see what it looked like before. And, you know, Michaela wasn't able to come out until the day before the opening. And so we got to go to the gallery the day before and sort of see everything that we had all created together in person, just right before everybody else saw it.
So, Michaela, where is that model? I think that could be a piece of art too that's at the exhibit.
It's sitting in my office under the table right now.
That's
it's
awesome.
It's not that strong. It's starting, the walls are already starting to crack on it. So,
I don't think it will
make it if I mailed it.
Speaking of walls, Michaela, there's walls now that were built specially for this that gave you more places to hang things, because if anyone's been there, there's windows in the front facing the street, but now there was a whole bunch of walls that were made that arts hung on, and it gave a total different vibe to all my relations.
Yeah, that was something that kind of came in because Keith's paintings, the large scale figure paintings that were sort of scattered around the gallery space, we knew that those pieces were the largest pieces, and he has quite, I believe there's 7 of them in total. And with the size of the gallery, we were kind of afraid that there wasn't enough wall space just for his work, including like the smaller pieces of the other artists and including the invited artists. And there's actually quite a number of like sculptural works that went on pedestals, but we just wanted to make sure that a lot of the work had room to sort of shine on their own. And they all do. They all hold up their own. They're very powerful works. And we just wanted to be able to utilize as much wall space as we could.
Yeah, I've been to many openings, and this one seemed very, very powerful, and a lot of imagery that really, really hits you. And from different ways, when you just walk in, you can really get hit with it. It's beautiful. I kind of always want to see Michaela, or let's start with Michaela. How did you start to become an artist?
I went to Flandreau Indian School for high school. It was sort of my way of trying to get off the res. And the only way I could was going to boarding school, unfortunately, at the time. And while I was in school, I think it was like my last year and a half of school, I took an art class. And my teacher really, really took to me, I guess. And so I took the same art class again the following year. And it was kind of the only thing that really kept me motivated. And that's when I learned about IAIA. And so I wasn't really sure where I was going to go, but I knew I wanted to go to college. And so I picked IAIA. And ever since then, I just kind of made it my goal to finish, go all the way through. And it took quite a long time, but I made it. And just having so long of like study and getting to explore so many different mediums and meeting so many different people, especially Jada. Like, I got to meet Jada while I was there. Yeah, which was really great. And that really, I just kept wanting to keep pushing myself.
That's awesome. And, you know, I'm an old high school teacher, and what I've always told my students is it's not a race, and it sounds like you're right where you need to be.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right on. Hey, Jada, tell us about your journey.
Yeah, for sure. I think, I don't know, I kind of struggle calling myself an artist, but I think my journey into being a creative person just kind of started at a young age. You know, I went to school down in Red Wing, Minnesota, and I had a really fantastic art teacher that recognized from a very early age that I was creative. And so they used to ask me, during recess, do you want to go play with other kids or do you want to make art today? And so they really helped me like cultivate that sort of weirdness, creativeness that I've kind of always had, and really nurtured that. And I don't know, you know, whenever I got to finishing high school and wanting to go to college, I feel like a lot of advice that was given to me was that you're not able to make it as a creative person in this world, you know, like it's not really practical, I guess. And so initially I was going to school for, I wanted to go to school for psychiatry, but I ended up changing my mind about halfway through my programming, and I decided to just move to Santa Fe and go to IAIA and study photography, because I'd always loved photography since I was a little kid, and I felt like it was my last chance to like actually cultivate that. And so I did it. And, you know, it's been a really amazing journey. You know, I've been doing it professionally for about 5 years now. Those people didn't know what they were talking about when they told me not to pursue a creative life. And I'm really glad that I was just young enough not to believe them. So,
Yeah. Right on, Jada. Hey, we got a minute left here and we're going to take a commercial break. But I just wanted to say, I don't know if you heard Dr. Stately, he was on earlier and he said that you had an awesome picture of me at his opening in line, being all by myself in line, the food line, first one in.
Yeah, I really do have a great picture of you with a full plate of food.
I love that. I pointed that out, Jada, so thank you.
We're all right on. Hey, we are going to come back. Who are we with, Haley?
We're with Jada Gray Eagle and Michaela Patton, two of the featured artists for Creation Story at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis.
Hey, we'll be right back after the short break. This is Native Roots Radio. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How?
Ooh. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio, and you know, we got to howl for our sacred wolves. Hey, there's a lot going on, and let's talk a little bit what's happening. I know this month is Native American Month, and there's a play happening right down the block here on University Avenue here in the next few days, and we've been talking a little bit about it.
Yeah, I remember Bob Blake brought this up last time he was on the show, and this is Niche, N-I-I-Z-H, Ojibwe. It's written by Joelle Peters, and this has been going on. I think it started last week, but I know this weekend is the last weekend to see it. It is Friday and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m., Sundays at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's at 825 Arts University Avenue in St. Paul. Niche is, it's a play, and sorry, excuse me one sec. The setting is in Red Lake. It's current in the present is where it takes place. The production of Niche is originally set on a southwestern Ontario reserve and has been reimagined to honor and reflect the identity and culture of the Red Lake Reservation. I have a feeling this is going to be a funny play because just looking at the cast here, it looks like we got Benet McNamara. Apologize if I'm not saying your name right. Ramiro Eagleson Martin, Silvestre or Trey Perantes, Robert Blake, our friend Bob Blake, Cindy From Martin. Yeah, Cindy Martin, too, who we had on the show with ASL interpreters. Right. And then Andrea Fairbanks is also in this. So. Let's see, there's a note from the director here. At its heart, Niche is a celebration of who we are, our past, our present, our future. Myself and the co-founders of Mini Gishik Theater Ensemble felt it was time to bring something into the world that carries joy, positivity. Sorry, I lost my track. I was trying to put the poster up here, but I'll find it here. This production features an all Anishinaabe cast with artists from the Red Lake, Leech Lake, and White Earth Nation. There's something deeply powerful about telling a story written by and for our people, performed by those who carry the lineage. It says Chimigwetch to playwright Joelle Peters for gifting us this beautiful story, one that resonates so deeply across generations. Though this story lives in the present, it echoes the voices of our ancestors and speaks forward into generations to come. It's also going to be ASL interpreted. There's going to be American Sign Language there and also Ojibwe too. It's translated, I think.
Cool.
Yeah. So check that out. It's going to be the last weekend, this weekend, Saturday and Friday and Saturdays and Sunday at 2. This weekend, it says that Marcy Rendon, the author, is doing community bingo, and she is the guest bingo caller. That's going to be before Saturday's show, and they're going to start that at 6 p.m. on May 17th.
That sounds great.
That's so fun.
Cool. Hey, tonight, get ready, too. I want you to get ready to do a Ho-Chunk Word of the Day, but tonight we have Minneapolis honoring our youth from 5:30 to 7:30 at South High School. That's always big. And then Friday, there's a bunch of things going on at 12 to 1:30, Anishinaabe Academy School Career Fair, and then 12:30, Sanford Middle School Powwow, and that's 3524 42nd Avenue in Minneapolis. And then I always like to go to this one, the White Earth Urban Office Open House from 12 to 3, and that's, you know, what's happening here directly because of our Native American Month here.
Yeah, American Indian Celebration Month is the entire month of May here in the state of Minnesota. I had to look up a Ho-Chunk word on the dictionary app while you were running through those events. A lot of fun things going on this weekend. Did you mention the 5K or the run on Saturday?
No, but I have a Ho-Chunk word if you want, because
go ahead.
I have one too. But so let's finish up Saturday, the Native Women running hit the streets in the MMIR team. That's a woman's 5K, 10K, and 10-mile run. Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you can choose up to what you're comfortable running there. But yeah, shout out our friends, Native Women Running. We got the founder, Verna Volker, running and getting a group of great women to have these teams across in different states across Turtle Island.
Oh, wow.
Good luck to those running here in the Twin Cities on Saturday for
and
women.
Where is that? Where is that?
I think Women Run the Cities. I think, is that in St. Paul? I honestly am not too familiar with that one. It might be both cities considering it's Women Run the Cities. I'm not sure.
Well, it's in the United States because they threw in a 10-mile run, too. They got off the metric system there, I see.
This is the Twin Cities one. Okay. Also on Saturday, this is something we talked about earlier in the week, too. The Community Pipe Ceremony and Bison Festival is coming back for the season. It's going to be at 2612 St. Croix Trail in Afton, Minnesota. May 17th, it's from 10 to 2. There's going to be the bison release back into the park. So it's cool activity to bring the kids out to. There's also going to be eco arts, some live music. Oh, I think this is also actually a 5K. You can run with the bison. I think it's walk or run at your own pace. The fun Wait, run.
You can't run with the bison. They might.
I don't think next to them. I think it's just a festival themed run, but that would be something, wouldn't it?
You could dress up as a bison and run.
That'd still be cool to be out there and run as they're getting released back into the park. What is the address on here? So they're doing the bison release at 12 p.m. on the Saturday, May 17th. And the address here for the bison festival itself is actually...
Is that 26? No, I'm looking at a different... Oh, I'm looking at a different thing.
Yeah, they're different. This one says Lucy Winton Bell Athletic Fields in Lakeland, Minnesota, 15601 Hudson. I think you can just go ahead and look up bellwin.org/bisonfest, and Bellwin is spelled BELWIN.org, and you can find that Bison Fest. I think you do have to get tickets. I think it is. Actually, it says this year, purchase tickets in advance. They are available on a sliding scale cost of $10, $20, or what does that say, $35 per car. Ooh. Okay, so it's by car. So, yeah, so bring your res cars car. That can fit the most relatives.
That's right. A res car, for sure. Hey, I want to jump in this because we only have a minute or so, so we can discuss this. But, you know, I started a new business, and it's called Native Wajua Supplies. And Wajua means fun times.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you were calling it that. Did you change the name recently?
No, that's for if I get in the cannabis business, fun times.
Oh, okay. So this is something I do not know about too much.
Right.
That's cool. All right. Well,
we gotta keep it away from the young ones, you know. Oh, wait. Wozawa. So it's pronounced Wazua. So that's fun time. Oh,
that's your Ho-Chunk word?
That's my Ho-Chunk word, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Fun time.
I thought you were going to shout out the Native Roots Trading Post online shop. That's what I thought you were going.
I think we're going to do that in the first segment.
Okay, I was confused. Okay, should I do my Ho-Chunk word? I was looking one up while you were talking. Yeah. Now I kind of forgot it, so I got to go back. Well, it was raining here today. We finally got some rain in Minnesota earlier. Yeah. Desperately needed. So I looked up the Ho-Chunk word for rain, and I'm going to actually play it. This is through the Ho-Chunk Mobile Dictionary app, and they have the elders recording the words in here so we can listen and learn together. Oh, I guess it won't play. We'll see. Anyways, it's Niju, I think. Oh, it's not going to work. Well, Niju, I guess, is the Ho-Chunk word for rain.
Well, we'll have to have more... What word am I looking for? We'll have to have more rehearsals before the show.
I guess so. Good thing we're coming up to the end of the week. No, I'm just kidding. Right. Thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate you.
Absolutely. Hey, this has been Native Roots Radio. We'll see you tomorrow, and have a great day. And, you know, have a Wajua day. Ho-wa.
Oh.
I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to the show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I've been your host, Robert Pilot. The revolution is kicking into high gear, and I would like to thank all my listening audience, our sponsors, and especially our guests, which make this show. If you are listening to this show, you are the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.